Well, if you've got your Bible, go ahead and join me in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to continue our summer series this morning. We're calling it Stronger. You heard from Pastor Jarrett last week. He talked about working out spiritually, right? Getting stronger spiritually. And our goal is to look back at the end of the summer and not wonder where the time went, not say, I can't believe it's fall already, but to look back at a season of our life where we grew stronger spiritually, unlike any we have before, right? Getting stronger spiritually. Now, it's not a, hey, I'm going to work out spiritually next Monday, or I'm going to start at the end of this month or after this vacation. It's a, let's start now getting stronger in our faith. And we're basing that out of 2 Peter chapter 1. Look, we'll be starting in verse 3, sort of a little recap, and then we're going to dive in to one of these godly characteristics today. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you too can become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this reason, make every effort. If you underline in your Bible, underline that phrase. We've talked about it a lot. We'll do it again today. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Back to verse 5. Our goal for the summer, make every effort to grow stronger spiritually. Remember the context. We hit this pretty hard 2 weeks ago. This is a little refresher. We won't do this every Sunday, but in the letter here, Peter's point is that God loves us. He desires that intimate and growing relationship with us. He tells us, in verse 3, right there, that it's through knowing Jesus that we have everything we need to live godly lives. He's saying we have it all, we're lacking in nothing if, and that's a big if we know Jesus and His promises. And because of that relationship, because you do know Jesus, the command that's given here, make every effort, it's very, very simple. Might not always be easy, but it's very simple. He's saying put effort into it. Put effort into these godly traits and characteristics, into living the way that God's called you to. Not so that you can earn the love of God. You've got it, right? When you stepped into that relationship with Him. But because of what God's love is already doing in your heart. The call here, when He says make every effort, is to understand that your life matters, your godly character matters. Don't ever think that you've arrived and that you can stop learning. No, we're called to stay humble so that we continue growing spiritually in every one of these aspects of our lives until we meet Jesus face to face. This is a call for believers to press forward, to live with daily habits and patterns that are intentional. This is a call not to drift, because we know if we just drift spiritually, we're not going to drift into godliness. Make every effort, right? This is a big, big deal. And remember why. I've read all the way through verse 8. As we continue down in verse 8, we know that as we grow stronger with these godly characteristics in our heart, our lives will stay fruitful and they'll stay focused. Ultimately, our lives will matter for the kingdom of God. And at the end of the chapter, we see that our lives, our actions, these godly traits and characteristics, they confirm that we have in fact been saved by grace through faith, that our hearts really have been changed by the grace of Jesus. We know our actions reveal who we are. Our actions reveal who and what is in our heart. The spiritual growth, it matters. Every week this summer, we're taking one of these godly characteristics, and this morning, the one we're taking is in verse 7. We're looking at brotherly affection. If you're taking notes this morning, you can write the title at the top of your page there. We're calling today Love Like Family, because that's what we're called to do. Now, if we're going to grow in this characteristic of brotherly affection in our lives, we need to make sure that we're defining it the right way. So let's start there. What is brotherly affection? Here's the definition. Brotherly affection, or in the Greek, phileo love, or that Philadelphia love, it is not the kind of love the city of Philadelphia showed Mattress Mac in the World Series a few years ago, right? In fact, it's quite the opposite of that. Brotherly love is the kind of love that Christians, that's a key, Christians show one another as members of the family of God. It's warm, it's a sincere care that treats fellow believers like close brothers and sisters. It's marked by kindness and loyalty and practical help. It's the kind of love that comes from a shared relationship that we have with Jesus, and it shows up in our lives and how we serve and how we encourage and how we stick with one another. Brotherly love, brotherly affection, it is not surface level friendliness. It is a heartfelt care for one another as if we were in the same family. That means we show up for one another, we do life together, we're committed to one another's well-being in a way that is far greater than just our words, right? We come through for one another. Now, at the time that Peter was writing, first century in the Greco-Roman world, this kind of love was actually catching on and becoming more and more popular, but only within household units, right? Within family units. It was common for them, but for non-blood related people to treat others with this kind of brotherly affection was very, very uncommon. And honestly, that hasn't changed much over the centuries. In our culture today, it's rare to see people displaying this kind of love for those that are not in their family. But as believers, that's what we're called to do, right? When it comes to the church family, look around the room, that's what this is. When it comes to the church family, we should 100% like one another and seek to grow closer to one another in our relationships because of the common relationship we have with Jesus. Now, yes, we all have a relational capacity, right? There's nobody in here that could have 100, 200, 500 best friends. At some point, we tap out, but we can all show brotherly affection to one another. And don't miss that this call is specifically here within the church family. There's another kind of love mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1, agape love, and we're going to see that in a few weeks. That's for everybody. This brotherly affection is for the church family, with others that are children of God. And yes, just like a household unit or a biological family might have issues from time to time, how real brothers might have arguments from time to time, the church family is going to have its own issues and arguments as well, because we all mess up. Nobody is perfect, and no church is perfect. You've heard the phrase, right? If you find a perfect church, don't join it, because if you join it, it won't be perfect anymore, right? That's a real thing. We're going to have disagreements, but at the end of the day, it's our love for Jesus and it's our love for one another that pulls us back together. We're going to have this deep loyalty for one another, where we stick up for and stick with one another through thick and thin, just like brothers are supposed to. My grandma, on my dad's side, before she passed away, she had all of these stories about my dad as he was growing up and his siblings. Some of them are great, and one of my favorite stories was a display that my dad made of brotherly affection for his little brother, right? There were some bullies in their neighborhood where they grew up in Florida, and my uncle was smaller than most of the other kids. He was the littlest in the family. He was small for his age all growing up. And there were these bullies that they would pick on him, and my dad would never happen to be there in time to help his brother out. Until one day, my dad's walking around the neighborhood, he hears some yells, and he sees two kids beating up his little brother, my uncle. They were probably early teenagers at the time, and so my dad runs over to get in the middle, ready to defend his little brother because of the love that he has for his brother, and the bullies did what bullies do. They ran away. Right, they ran away, they ran back to their house, my dad chased them, they ran into their house and they shut the door, and they thought that they were safe. They did not count on the deep brotherly love my dad had to have him drive into their home to beat them up in front of their mother in the living room, right? Brotherly affection, brotherly love, it drives us to do massive things for those that we truly care about. It's a family bond that moves us to extreme measures. And I don't think I need to say this, but I will say this. Don't leave here and fight somebody. That's not the point, okay? The point is, right, there's nothing that we wouldn't do for our family. It drives us to measures that don't make sense in other relationships. And that's what we're called to do here for one another in the church family. That the same love, the same devotion we have to the family that God has given us in our home, it should be shown to those here in the church. And just so we're on the same page, this isn't a random teaching that Peter, dreams up in 2 Peter chapter 1. In Romans 12:10, it says, be devoted to one another out of brotherly love. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, we see a deep devotion and brotherly love among the first believers in Jerusalem. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus himself talks about that kind of love with his disciples, and then they model it together, right? Which again, this brotherly love, it's a warm and affectionate love for other believers to treat one another like family, because through Jesus, that's exactly what we are. We are family. That's how it's defined. Now, why does growing in brotherly affection actually matter in my life and in your life? The answer here is very quick and simple. It's because God told us to. Right, God has told us as his children to grow in brotherly love and affection. And we know that his commands for us are always, always for our good and for his glory. We can trust God and follow him in faith. And on top of that, let me give you a few additional reasons why this is a big deal that each of us, as we get spiritually stronger, grow in brotherly affection. The first is this: showing brotherly affection reveals who we are. John 1:12, one of my favorite verses. I read this with several of our kids at Vacation Bible School this week. It says this: but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, this is speaking of Jesus, he gives the right to become children of God. When we trust in Jesus, we become children of God. We're in the family. In Hebrews 2, believers are called brothers and sisters. In Romans chapter 8, believers are called sons and daughters of God. The Bible is clear. When we trust Christ, we are now a part of the family of God. Second, showing brotherly affection, it draws the world that is watching us to a love for Jesus. I mentioned earlier, in the Greco-Roman world first century, this kind of love was growing in popularity among biological family units, but it was a foreign concept to show that kind of love to people not actually in your family. Right? It's common to help your household, to lend them money, to support them, to show up for them in times of crisis, but you didn't really do that back then for anyone else. Nobody did until believers started doing it for one another. In his book, History of Christian Missions, Stephen Neal writes this. He talks about this remarkable growth of the early church in the Roman Empire, how that early church really began to spread, and a catalyst for it was the community that was created among believers. Their affectionate and loving care for one another, it drew people in. When you see people in groups and in community like that, you have this natural draw in your heart and life that say, that looks good. Right, I want to be a part of those people. They care about one another. They love one another. They're standing up for one another. I want to be in a group like that. Tertullian, he was a Christian writer. He lived from AD 155 to AD 240. He was a historian. He documented the growth and spread of the church. Here's one of his descriptions of the Christian community in action in the first and second century. He doesn't use the phrase, but he's describing brotherly affection. He says, we are one in mind and soul. We don't hesitate to share our earthly goods with one another. All things are in common among us except our wives. This was natural to believers. It was the logical result of becoming a child of God. They understood that they were now a family. And they started treating one another like they were members of the family. And the watching world, that appealed to them. Right? They were drawn to Jesus. And that shouldn't be unexpected. Right? Jesus told us that would happen. John 13, 34 and 35, it says this: a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, you shall love one another. By this, by your love for one another, that's how the entire world is going to know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus said, the world will know you belong in my family if you love one another. So, the way that we treat the people in this room, the people in our life groups, the people that we're getting coffee with in the atrium, it clearly communicates to a watching world, yes, those people belong to Jesus, and I can tell because of how they treat one another. Or with our actions, we communicate, no, those people do not belong to Jesus because of how they treat one another. You see why brotherly affection is a big deal, right? Our interactions between one another, if they are full of brotherly affection, if they are full of warmth and care and sacrifice and genuine joy, just our interactions with one another are going to help people trust in Jesus as Lord. We're called to live this way, with these godly character traits on display for the world. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine by how you treat others here in the family of God so that a watching world can give glory to God in heaven. This is basic. It really is. It is so, so simple. We have this opportunity for massive spiritual wins out in our community by getting this small command right, doing the little things right and how we treat one another. We tell our younger kids' baseball teams all the time, do the little things, right? Don't walk anybody. Don't commit any errors. And if you can do those two little things, you're going to win almost every single game you play. Brotherly affection, this is a little thing. It's a little thing that we can do right. Look around. Look around the room. The people that God has assembled here together, they're your family. And if we love them like family, the community outside these walls is going to be pointed to Christ. And then third, showing brotherly affection, it strengthens the church. Here's what I want you to see, that this command is not only good for the external community that watches us as a group of believers, it's good for our church family here too. Think about this. When you're on the receiving end of brotherly affection, how does it make you feel? When people are kind to you, when they're encouraging to you, when they support you, when they show up for you, how does it make you feel? Probably good. And hopefully it makes you feel like you belong, like you matter here, like you're a part of what's going on here in the family of God. Listen, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the first time I preached a sermon here at the North Klein campus. In between, I was out there getting some coffee before we came back in for the second one, and Rayanne Edmonds, I don't know if she remembers this or not, she came up and she grabbed me by the arm and she leaned in and she was so encouraging, and here were her exact words. She said, you belong here. She probably doesn't even remember that conversation, but I'll never forget it. Brotherly affection, it strengthens the body. Right, when we treat one another with this kind of love, what happens? We grow in unity, we grow in trust, we grow in accountability, and all of that makes us stronger and more focused to do what Jesus has called us to do. The church has a mission, right, to make disciples of Jesus. And when we love one another well, we strengthen one another, and we strengthen the whole family for the sake of the mission. Look back at verses 5 through 7. Look at all of these godly characteristics listed there. Virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and love. So many things mentioned there that if you read the passage quickly, it'd be really easy to skip over brotherly affection. Well, I hope and pray that we don't do that. I hope and pray that we see the massive difference this kind of love makes in us personally, in our church family, and ultimately in our community. Let's make every effort, every single one of us, every effort to grow in brotherly affection. And if you're ready to do that, if you're thinking, okay, that sounds really good, I'm in, how do we do it? Well, let's answer that question. How do we show this kind of brotherly affection? There's some that when they get to this and really start wrestling with how to practically flesh this out, there's some that would turn to 2 Corinthians 13:12, which says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, I'm sure that sounds great to some of you. To others, it is your worst nightmare to have people running around in here kissing one another. For the longest time in student ministry, I had to tell our high school guys at camp, you cannot quote this to girls and approach them. That is not how we're going to do this. To do so would be missing the context of the verse, right? Here's the context of 2 Corinthians 13, the greeting with a kiss. That's how families would greet each other back then, right? It was a household thing, a family thing. It was a warm and affectionate thing. It was a very common thing, but it was uncommon to show that kind of love to people not in your family, right? So I guess technically, 2 Corinthians 13, greet with a holy kiss, it could be our application on brotherly affection, but it needs to be done in a way that fits our culture today. Please don't kiss anybody when you leave here today. I'm not asking you to do that. But if you want to grow and show the affection that God's called you to here, be warm, be friendly, be approachable, be encouraging. Here's some great ways to do that, right? Number one, remind yourself as you look around, same family, same team. Preach that to yourself. Same family, same team. Over and over and over again. You're going to have interactions with people. You'll be frustrated with people. There's going to be some times where you don't get along with people. Preach it to yourself. Same family, same team. John 1:12. They're a child of God. I'm a child of God. We're in the family of God. Same family, same team. 1 John 4:19 and 20 says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and then hates his brother, he's a liar, right? That's what Scripture says. If we really, really do love God, we're going to love our brother. Same family, same team. Be a good teammate. Grow in brotherly affection. Number two, you got to spend time with other believers. If you're going to show them brotherly affection, you got to spend time with them. 2 Peter, when you read the entirety of the letter, it's very clear that we should be deeply connected to other believers, and the church is a primary way that we do that today. In Hebrews, we see that we should not stop meeting together, but we should often worship together, encourage one another as we follow Jesus together. It's really challenging to grow and the love that we're called to grow in if we're not ever spending time with one another. So many ways that can happen. But for us, one of the main strategies we use as a church is our life groups, right? We have groups every Sunday morning at 8:30, 9:30, and 11 o'clock. If you're not in a group, find a group. If you can't find a group, ask me. I'll help you find a group. Because we both know relationships grow in person. It's hard to grow in brotherly love if you're not connected to any brothers. And as we gather, man, we've got to get past surface level conversations. It can't just be about, is it going to rain today or not? Or how'd the Astros hit last night? We've got to be real with one another, remembering that we are in the same family. And I'm going to add a little tag onto this. If you've got a kid, I promise you, they need these friendships too. They really, really do. It doesn't matter how old they are. They need other kids or teenagers in their life that love God, that love them, that will show them that kind of brotherly affection that we see here. So if you've got kids and you feel like they're having a hard time connecting, find me. Find our student pastor, Adam. Find our kids minister. Like, let us help you get your kids connected with other kids here so they can grow in this and God can use it in their life in a big, big way. And then next, if you want to grow in this, pray for other believers. If you want God to grow your heart and your affection, your care towards someone, just start praying for them, right? Especially if you struggle relationally with them already, pray for them. And don't pray like this. Don't pray, God, can you help so-and-so be less annoying? That's not the prayer, right? It's not the prayer. Pray for their heart. Pray for their walk with Jesus. Pray for their family. Pray for the issues that you know are going on in their life. Pray for the relationship that you have with them, that God would work in a way to bring reconciliation and brotherly love in a way that points everybody else to the work of God in your life. And then finally, if you want to grow in brotherly affection, you've got to be willing to serve other believers. Galatians 5:13 says this, serve one another through love. You serve your family at home. It's common. You see needs. You meet needs. You're there for them. You help them with the big and the small issues of life. If we're going to grow in brotherly affection, we need to serve one another. So look around the room and be willing to serve people when they have needs. Maybe it's a meal when they're in the hospital. Maybe it's financial support as they're walking through a challenging time. Maybe it's helping with their kids. It could be any or all of these things that people around here need help with. But when we serve one another, that is a catalyst for brotherly affection in our lives and relationships. And so often, again, I just said it, so often that happens through our life groups. Just in the past few weeks, I've heard of of groups showing up for one another, providing meals for one another, massive financial support to bring relief to one another, all of these different things happening in those groups. Years ago, a man in one of our life groups donated a kidney to another person in their life group. Listen, that they treated one another like family. I'm telling you, service is a catalyst for brotherly affection to grow. Get close to other believers and treat them like family, because according to God's word, that is exactly what we are. About a year and a half ago, Chelsea and I went on a trip with several other couples, our best friends, they're believers. We consider one another family, and they count my kids as their own, and vice versa. We're a family. And we're at this hotel, and we'd finished dinner one night, and we were sitting around having a great time, and another couple about our age came up to us, and they asked us, "How do you all fit together? Like, do y'all work together? What is this?" And we just explained we're friends that might as well be family, right? That's how we interact and treat one another. They asked a few questions about that, and they looked at one another. This husband and wife looked at one another, and they said, "We don't have anything like that. I wish that we had friends where we live just like that." And I told them the same thing that I'm sharing with you this morning. You can have friends like that, right? Get close with other believers. Start praying for other believers. Start serving other believers. Intentionally carve out time and spend that time with other believers. Understand, right, that you're not only on the same team, you're in the same family, and then begin to live like it. And the relationships that God will bless you with will absolutely blow you away. In a world that's marked not by brotherly affection, in a world that's marked by division and indifference and self-focus, self-centeredness, when we love like this, we are shining a light. We're shining a light. And love like this, by the way, it is not optional for us. It is a command. It is essential for us to love like this. And my prayer is that this church family would be knit together in affection as brothers and sisters growing stronger together. Right? So this summer, as we are making every effort to grow stronger, let's make every effort to grow in our brotherly affection for one another. Would you bow with me this morning? And just with your head bowed, eyes closed, consider God's word this morning. And this is something that only you can do before the Lord. But just ask yourself, ask the Lord, "God, how am I doing with this? You've called me as your child to show this brotherly affection, this brotherly love to the church family that I get to gather with. God, how am I doing? Am I encouraging? Am I prayerful? Am I supportive? Am I caring? Am I meeting needs? God, is the way that I love the people here, does it reveal that my heart belongs to you?" This morning, if you know you need to grow there, ask him to help you grow there. Ask him to let it be a focus, a priority in your life. Maybe you sit here and you think, you know what, I would be that way if I knew some people around here a little better. Maybe you'd say you're just not connected well enough. And if that's the case, I want to encourage you. Use the summer to get connected. Find a place where you can serve and be connected to people that you serve with. Find a life group that you could jump into where people will love you and care for you and pray for you. Don't give it one chance and then say it didn't work and pow out, right? Make every effort. Be consistent. Be engaged. Let God knit your heart together with the hearts of people here in the church family. Remembering, verse 3, that our ability to do any of this at all, it comes from knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so if you're here this morning and you'd say, "You know what? I don't know Jesus. My kid trusted Christ at VBS this week, but I don't know Jesus." If that's you, we'd love to talk with you about it. If you had a family member bring you this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, maybe it's your first time in church in a long time, we'd love to talk with you about what it looks like to trust in Jesus as your Savior. It all starts there. Just a minute, we're going to stand and sing one last song, and as we do, our pastors are going to be down here in the front. We'd love to pray with you about that. Maybe it's brotherly affection. Maybe it's about restoration of a relationship. Maybe it's about trusting Christ as your Savior or being baptized. Or maybe you're just walking through a difficult season. You're facing something that's really challenging right now, and you just want somebody to come alongside you and pray for you. We'd be honored to do just that. When we stand and sing, that'll be your invitation to come and pray with one of us. Father, we love you. We trust you. God, you're good. We thank you. We thank you that you've given us this family, that we're not called to follow you on our own. We're called to follow you with a family of believers where we can encourage, support, and love one another just like you have loved us. God, we love you and we trust you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with Him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.